And on the G&M Family Market phone line, it's our friend Evan Davis, host of the In Play podcast. You see his work in Hardball Times, FanRag Sports, and more. Evan, good afternoon. Uh-oh. Evan is under arrest, I believe.
Sorry, Rich. just dealing with some ambulances in the New York traffic. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I hope you're okay.
I'm doing fine. I don't know about where that sucker's going.
Okay. Good news there. Well, let's talk some baseball here. Let's start with the Red Sox this afternoon, who have frustrated the heck out of us in New England all year long. And yet, after an 8-1 road trip, I don't know, maybe have we underestimated them? Could this team do some damage in the postseason?
Well, first of all, I don't know why you guys' expectations are so high just because you didn't have a division lead from April 2nd onward. You guys would be fine. Yeah, I think that there's always been more potential in those bats than we've seen this season. And I was actually starting to get to a point where I didn't know if that true potential is going to emerge. I think the Red Sox have been carrying like 22nd or 23rd offense in baseball for a lot of the season, and no other contender is that low on the leaderboard. But as you say, I mean, finally they seem to be clicking into high gear. I mean, unfortunately, September momentum really doesn't have a whole lot of correlation with October success, so I don't know what's going to be coming down the pike, and they're going to be facing some good pitching staff in October, whether it's Houston or whether it's the dynamic beast that is the Cleveland Indians. So hopefully, you know, Mookie Betts can step up and lead these guys to it, to a deep October run.
I love the Twins. It's an amazing story that what they've been able to do this year. Is it crazy to think they could knock off the Yankees in a one-game playoff and maybe give somebody else a scare?
Well, I mean, those wild card games are crazy, as you well know. I mean, anything can happen when baseball all comes down to just one game. The door is wide open for an upset. Now, you'd have to say, I mean, first of all credit to Minnesota. There's a statistic at Baseball Prospectus that kind of takes a lot of the luck and the strength of schedule out of a team's record and just looks at how well each of the players have performed relative to the competition that they face. It's called third order winning percentage. And basically what it tries to show you is whether a team has been playing above their heads or maybe even getting a little unlucky. And the Twins, up until the All-Star break, and maybe even a little bit past that, were playing maybe just above 400 ball with a record that was over 500 at the time. They were the luckiest teams in the major league. Since the All-Star break, though, they've been playing like a 600 team. Like, they've been legitimately good. I mean, that offense, when it's clicking, is scary. You know, Jose Barrios is still one of the most exciting pitchers, young pitchers in the game. You know, but the Yankees, I mean, the Yankees have one of the top three run differential. Aaron Judge all of a sudden is looking like Aaron Judge again. Luis Severino will win the Cy Young Award, but he's going to get some Cy Young votes. I just don't think that they've got enough in them to take the Yankees down. The Yankees have a lot of weapons to throw at them in a one-game playoff.
Well, it's rare that we get to this point in the season with just about everything already decided. So about the only mystery left is that second National League wildcard team. Who do you think gets it?
Yeah, and it's funny that now it's like the second NL wildcard. For all, you know, most of the season it was the mess that was going on in the American League. But, yeah, the Rockies were probably getting a little lucky throughout a lot of the season, and now they're starting to drop some games. And the Brewers are still hanging on, you know, bless them. You know, I don't know if they're going to have quite enough to get over the hump. I like Colorado's offense more than I like Milwaukee's. But, man, that Travis Shaw kid is doing something special, and I think we've talked about him on this show before, Rich. Not looking like a great move for the Red Sox to get rid of him.
Oh, no.
but with that said, I think the Rockies can hang on. I think it'll be a squeaker. And then, you know, they'll get to lose to Arizona in the wild card game and be done with it.
Let's talk, mentioning awards, let's talk about some likely award winners in the American League here. It looked like Altuve had this thing wrapped up for a while, but Aaron Judge coming on strong, hit number 50 today. Is it legitimately a two-man race now?
I mean, I'd also say it's a three-man race and maybe even a four-man race if you look at the two best pitchers in the majors. Chris Sale and Corey Kluber, we don't really see pitchers put up that level of dominance in one league the way that those two guys have, especially, recently. I initially kind of thought that if I had a vote, I would vote for Chris Sale, but, you know, Klubot is going to Klubot and is just wrecking dudes. So, yeah, I thought I had my mind made up a month ago, but now, you know, Judge, this is one of the most special seasons we've ever seen. He was a lock for Rookie of the Year 4 months ago. Mark McGwire's 30-year-old major league rookie home run record has now fallen. And when a guy has that much power, that much patience, and can literally put the ball out of the park no matter where you throw it in the strike zone, it would be a good story. We haven't seen a combo Rookie of the Year MVP winner since Ichiro in 2001, and it's only happened twice throughout baseball history. So it would be kind of special to see Aaron Judge take the award. But I don't know. I think Kluber, Sale, Altuve, and Judge all have legitimate arguments.
Well, and you had a great piece, and I loved your analogy in talking about that showdown between the Klubot and the Red Sox version of Sarah Connor, Chris Sale. Who's going to be the Terminator here?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. Kluber, Sale is the best strikeout pitcher in the game. He hardly walks anybody. He doesn't give up home runs, which, we live in the most home run happy season that we've ever seen in baseball. Plus, he pitches in the AL East, which is full of home run friendly parks. The fact that he's suppressing power like that on contact is remarkable. And, everybody who's watched the Red Sox game this year knows what Chris Sale can do. But the thing is, Kluber has been relentless since he came off of the Staples list. He has not pitched a bad game in, I think, 2 months. He just keeps coming and coming and coming. And no matter what you do, you're going to lose. And that's what's so crazy about it. I think that Corey Kluber is the one pitcher in the game right now where it's more likely that he's going to get 10 strikeouts, no walk, and throw a complete game shutout than him giving up, scattering a couple of hits and maybe giving up a run or two. I mean, it's just such a consistent level of dominance with such a lack of emotion when he's on the mound that it's again, I thought Sale was my guy for the Cy Young, but I think I got to go with Kluber now. All due respect to your listeners.
We got about a minute left, Evan. It's been such a great year in Major League Baseball. If you could pick one thing, what's been the best story in baseball this year?
For me, it's dominance. For a long, long time, teams really were trying to play to the middle. Not that they weren't trying to be good, but I think teams realized that because of the way the playoff structure has been set up since the wild card was introduced, that no matter how good you are in the regular season, that's no guarantee of postseason success. There's a lot of chaos and a lot of unpredictability that goes on in October. So why not try to build a team that gets to the playoffs every single year for a long stretch of time rather than try to win 110 games and take your bumps in the postseason? But, man, I mean, if you look at what Houston has been for most of the year, you look at what the Dodgers have been, you look at what Cleveland was probably going to be and then became, and then even the Yankees, who no one really expected them to make a push until maybe next year or 2019. But again, they've played like one of the three or four best in baseball. I mean, it's just been a relentless year for big squads with big bats and big arms, all just kind of stacking themselves together. I mean, I feel bad for the Twins if they manage to get past the Yankees, because it doesn't stop there. Then they got to deal with Houston, and they got to deal with Cleveland, and then they probably have to deal with either the Dodgers or the Nationals. I would lose some sleep over that if I were Paul Molitor.
Evan Davis, the In-Play Podcast, FanRag Sports, Hardball Times, and so much more. Always great talking baseball with you, Evan. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Rich.